Today I wanted to share with you some of the results of an extension program that was conducted the last 3 years, and at that time I was with Oregon State University. Recently I have accepted a position at Washington State University, so this data here that I'm going to present to you is actually done when I was down in the Ontario, Oregon area, which is located about an hour's drive northwest of Boise, Idaho. Most of you are very familiar with reduced tillage farming. We decided to call it high residue farming, and I'm going to try to phrase this in a way that kind of show you the extension program that was out there. We're going to look at two types of high residue farming: strip tillage and direct seeding, and an overview of the extension program in high residue farming. As you well know, we're trying to get the farmers to go to an increasing decreasing frequency of soil disturbance, and then also increasing the residue cover. And this is the area that I was working in. The Malheur County is slow to adopt conservation tillage. There's very little of it going on. Part of the reason for that is that we're a very intensive ag region. We grow onions, potatoes, sugar beets. Most of it's on furrow irrigation. And so this has caused the lag in reduced tillage farming. We also seem to be pretty stuck on the furrow irrigation, which has made it difficult to try to overcome the reduced tillage as well. Strip tillage can be defined different ways as I was looking through the literature, so I thought it would be useful to kind of define the kind of strip tillage that we're talking about. Basically, tilling the 9 to 12 inches in a wide band and tilling rather deep. That's probably the big difference that I noticed in the literature. Sometimes it can be shallow. Generally, the tillage that we were doing with our strip tillage was probably a foot deep in most situations. That's what our strip tillage looks like in our irrigated corn production. Our corn yields are pretty high. We have irrigated corn yields that are pushing up there to 300 bushels. Some farmers are 250, some 220, and so we're in a high residue area. Our wheat yields also produce a lot of residue. Our residue that we have to deal with from our 120, 140 bushel wheat really provides some work to get through it. This is a Schlegel unit, one of the units that was used in by one of the farmers that I was cooperating with. And when I went to the farmers, this is kind of the story that I would tell them why they needed to consider reduced tillage, that it saves you money, saves you time, moisture, and it improves your soil and reduces erosion and nutrient loss, and it works. You know, our sprinklers are just starting to come in on part of this area, and so that was really kind of the opening that I saw when these sprinklers started coming in and saying, these farmers really don't have a real idea of how much they could reduce their fuel and all these different areas to reduce tillage, and so I thought this was an opportunity to take advantage of. The program that I put together, I felt like the farmers needed to have some kind of an incentive to try to get started in this. So I wrote two large grants. One was to provide monetary incentives for the increased risk of adoption of the strip tillage, and then they had to buy those huge pieces of equipment. I didn't feel like the monetary was just to try to get them over the hump. They have huge costs that they're going to have to put in there. One farmer spent up to $100,000 buying all the equipment, RTK, GPS, and everything that goes with it. The other part of the grant was to purchase a direct seed drill, a no-till drill, also worked with the local soil water conservation district, particularly Linda Rowe, for maintaining the drill and lining up who got the drill next. I didn't want to be there day after day trying to work through this, and fortunately they were willing to do that. Part of the grant requirements was that the drill couldn't be rented out. It had to be free for the first year. Two grants that I got was one was from Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, and one was from the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. Looking at some of the results of the on-farm research that we conducted, you can see that on average our corn population, if anything, was improved with strip tillage over conventional, but really we're just, our goal was to try to maintain yields and to maintain the stand that was out there. And as you can see here, we were able to do that. This is Kenneth Jensen's farm. His yields over the, you can see the yields over the year. Some of it was pretty good corn. And you can see here, virtually within a bushel per acre, it's certainly within the error in here. And so non-significant difference. We did have a tendency to see a little bit higher moisture in the corn come harvest time. These were the operations that was eliminated on Kenneth Jensen's farm. He was one of my early adopters. Basically, he was already in a reduced tillage system compared to most of my farmers out there. And we eliminated two offset diskings, a groundhog, a fertilizer spreading, and a dammer diker for, we're figuring, $61 an acre savings. These are custom rates here that we publish in the area from doing surveys. This was a picture of the Crustbuster drill. Dr. Klein, I happened to visit with you the other about 2 years or 3 years ago about what would be the kind of drill that would you pick to try to go into these really high residue situations. And this was the one he picked, and so I went with it, and it has been a good choice. This Crustbuster has been easy to haul around, farmers moving it around, and so it worked really well for us. In the first year, we had 29 different farmers use it over 2,000 acres. And so we felt like that was quite an accomplishment for the first year right out of the gate. I think that first year of really putting it out there saying it's free of charge, first year, really helped. Because it got everybody thinking, how can I use this drill free? And they came up with a whole host of different ways to use it. This was one I really wasn't encouraging. I was trying to work them into the sprinklers, but once they found a free drill out there, this Doug Stipe went out into the furrow-irrigated alfalfa field that he sprayed out with Roundup, planted the wheat into it, and really it's probably been one of the biggest successes. It wasn't one that I was really trying to promote out there, but those farmers are innovative, and if you give them a little tool to play with, and it really helps out. This is what the stand looked like after planting. You can see it was just a beautiful stand. This was the operations that basically have been eliminated by the farmers that use this technique. And it sounds like a lot. You think I made this up, but I'm really not. This is the typical practices that were eliminated. They go out and sweep it, two operations, offset disking. Then they go out and rake and burn the residue. This is an offset disk again, subsoiling, plowing, and then cultivating. That's what they're used to. That's their standard operating practice out there. I didn't put in there that they have to go in there and build the corrugates again, but you have to go out and clean the corrugates in the no-till too. So after they get done planting, we go out and clean those out. As of about last week, the direct seed drills covered 3,223 acres. On average, we've eliminated 3.9 tillage operations, saving about 3.5 gallons of diesel per acre, and the farmers and their innovativeness of 35 different crop and previous crop combinations were tried. We have a lot of different crops out there. And so we got a whole bunch of them. And 46 different producers have used the drill. And so you can see the creativity just went wild with it. And again, that having that pre-drill out there really helped. We looked at some of the different soil loss, looking at the soil quality conditions. We looked at Russell 2 and soil conditioning index, basically indexes of soil quality and our operations there. Looking at the strip till, the S soil conditioning index, the higher the number, the better. And you can see we raised it from 0.4 to 1.6. These are two indicators that the NRCS uses in their system of determining, for different programs and things like that. And it's a model, basically, Russell 2 is. And here you can see the farmer standard under the stir rating, how much they stir the soil. Was 100 for the strip tillage, and they dropped it down to 37.1. Looking at that alfalfa wheat rotation, soil conditioning index of 1.5, which was raised. Again, we want this larger, and it did raise it, almost double it. And then stir rating, We dropped it from 90 to 6.74. So we feel like we've had some significant environmental benefits as well. And maybe I'm going through a little fast, but actually I had time for some questions. I probably left some holes out there. And I just thought I'd throw a couple different good examples, some of the real winners that we had with the strip-till corn. We've also strip-tilled dry edible beans and some other commodity crops that are out there. We've done corn silage. We've played with sugar beets and some other different crops as well. But again, that was under pivots under the dry land. And anything that we go into close seeded drill, I think they pretty well covered the bases on that. And really, we had good success. We didn't hardly have any failures with production. I did have one farmer who had that 250, 60 bushel corn, and we thought, well, let's try to run that drill through it once and without doing anything. And we actually, this last year, had a partial failure. It wasn't a complete failure. There were some areas where the drill actually rode up. We didn't have enough weight in it, I don't think. You know, the corn stalk still stood about yay tall after drilling. And so the farmer was also concerned about how he was going to get through that with his combine. He's really kind of adapted an area where he's gone in and turbo-tilled it twice, and planting it is really what he likes. I think once would probably be enough, but it depends on what he's doing and going in there. So with that, I'll open it up for questions. Yes?
Have you run a time budget on that? What their time savings were?
No, I haven't put a time saving on it. It would be a good thought to put that on there. You know, we didn't really, you know, in a larger farm where they're doing small fields, most of the fields that we're dealing with here were probably 50 acres or less. So it's not the large fields that many of you are accustomed to. We had some fields that were probably as large as 160 acres, but nothing larger. And a lot of our fields in our area are about 40 acres in size. And it really was my first move there. It was quite an adjustment from the Midwest coming there and seeing these little fields. And I go, you know, why don't they combine them? But a lot of it came with the furrow irrigation. And now they're struggling to try to figure out how they can get enough land to put under a pivot. Because you've got all the ditches that are in the system and that kind of thing. Any other questions?
Second year
with $15 an acre is what I think it was $13 an acre is what they settled on, and then they have a deposit for the drill, and they have to have insurance. They have to have proof of insurance to take the thing out, so that if the Soil and Water Conservation District, who I gave the drill to after, and that was probably the smartest thing I did. I would never have been able to do this if Oregon State University would have owned the drill, but the way I had it set up, instantaneously when I got it, it went straight to them, so they had ownership of it. And it really, it's provided the farmers a way to come back into their office and have the real farmers in the community come into their office. I think it's really helped their office immensely. It's provided, and we've set it up in a way that charge should, in the long run, be able to pay for a new drill when this one wears out. So hopefully it's perpetual. You can always have those instances where something goes awry, but if they use the money accordingly, I think they should be able to keep it up. And so even though I'm in a new job, the thing is still working.
Excellent.
Thank you.